Airlines scramble to replace Airbus pitot tubes. Eclipse owners get a new option for type and recurrent training. And big companies bail on the Paris Air Show, but small ones rush in to take their place. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, June 10th, 2009. The Brazilian Navy, with help from several other nations, has now recovered at least 41 bodies from the Atlantic in the area where Air France Flight 447 went down a week ago Sunday night. Crews have also recovered the plane's tail and are hopeful it marks the approximate location of the aft-mounted voice and data recorders from the Airbus A330. Multiple media sources are reporting that replacement of pitot tubes used to determine airspeed, an upgrade recommended by Airbus 17 months ago to improve reliability but considered non-critical, is now moving to the top of the priority list for many airlines flying the company's planes. An early theory among investigators is that Flight 447 may have been flying too fast when it encountered turbulence. Orphaned owners of Eclipse 500 jets are getting some good news this week. The program for recurrent pilot training has been approved by the FAA. Jet Elite Training of Clearwater, Florida, says it will offer both recurrent and initial type rating training with on-demand scheduling at its Florida facility or at the customer's location anywhere in the world. Recurrent training will consist of an at-home directed study program plus 2 days of ground school and flight training in the aircraft. Initial type rating training will include online jet transition training, a flight skills assessment, upset recovery training in an L-39, and 9 days of ground school and flight training. If required, mentor training will be accomplished following the initial type rating. JET is now scheduling Eclipse 500 recurrent training and will begin scheduling initial type rating training this month. Find out more at www.jetelitetraining.com. A 63-year-old pilot flying alone in an older SR-22 Monday night became the 19th documented save for the Cirrus airframe parachute system. Tom Granville reported a loud noise from the power plant and oil spewing onto the windshield during a flight from New Jersey to Spartanburg, South Carolina. He reported pulling the chute at 6,000 feet and the plane came down in a wooded area of Elkin, North Carolina. Sheriff Graham Atkinson told local media that Granville walked away from the plane and used his cell phone to call for help. Quote, "He was up walking around. He was extraordinarily calm for a man who had just survived a plane crash," unquote. Technically, sir, that's a forced landing. The biennial Paris Air Show opens Monday to celebrate its 100th anniversary, and while the economy has caused several big names among exhibitors to drop out, show organizers say they still sold out the floor space. Cessna and Gulfstream are among the more conspicuous absences this year, both of them hit hard by the business aviation slump. But Luis Laportes, the airshow's chief executive, tells the Associated Press cutbacks have been offset by the participation of a record number of small and medium-sized companies, which will number about 1,500. Quote, "Of course, we had a few no-shows in the parts of the industry especially hard hit by the crisis, like business jets, but we sold out all the available stands and chalets," unquote. Organizers expect 300,000 attendees this year, about half of them industry professionals. The show opens to industry and press reps on Monday and to the general public on Friday, June 19th. Up next on ANN, Boeing gets closer to the first flight of the Dreamliner. UPS and its pilots union work together to avoid layoffs. And Air Canada gets a crucial piece of its survival plan in place. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 10th. I'm Paul Plagg. Boeing is racing the calendar to fulfill its twice-delayed commitment to get a 787 Dreamliner in the air for its first flight by the end of this quarter. That means the end of this month. The company reports another milestone passed in that quest, completion of an intermediate phase gauntlet test, which simulated in detail multiple scenarios using all airplane systems as if the aircraft were in flight, including power, avionics, and flight controls. Boeing says test scenarios ranged from standard flights to single and multiple systems failures during flights, during the equivalent of about 1 week's worth of operations on the airplane and hundreds of discrete test conditions. Dreamliner Program VP Scott Fancher said of his team, quote, "I couldn't be more proud. We will continue to take a hard look at the results, make adjustments, and finish up our testing so we can get to first flight," unquote. That first flight is expected to depart Payne Field, last about 3 hours, and end with a landing, and no doubt a conspicuous celebration at Boeing Field. The rest of the flight test program is expected to involve 3,500 hours on 6 test aircraft over the following 9 months. United Parcel Service and the Independent Pilots Association Union say they've reached an agreement to avert the immediate furlough of 300 UPS pilots. The union asked the company for a chance to identify opportunities to cut costs in lieu of the layoffs. The two sides agreed, provided $131 million in savings could be found. IPA says it's already found $90 million of those savings and is confident it can find the rest. Economy moves made so far include voluntary programs such as pilots taking short and long-term leaves of absence, military leaves, job sharing, reduction in flight pay guarantees, early retirement, and sick bank contributions. Union President Bob Miller observed, quote, "This is a remarkable achievement. First of all, I'd like to thank our pilots. None of this would have happened if they hadn't stepped up to volunteer from every fleet, seat, and domicile. Second, I want to thank UPS. They didn't have to go down this road with us. We appreciate their openness to new ideas and their willingness to work with us in finding an alternative solution," unquote. A crucial piece of Air Canada's survival plan is now in place. The airline tells the Canadian press it has negotiated a tentative deal with three of its unions to suspend hundreds of millions of dollars in pension fund contributions due this year, which would have exhausted the airline's cash on hand and triggered its second bankruptcy in 6 years. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, the Canadian Auto Workers Union, and the Canadian Airline Dispatchers Association together represent about 16,500 employees, or about 60% of Air Canada's workforce. The deal will still have to be approved by Ottawa. The head of the world's largest airliner leasing company has what could be some bad news for Airbus. Stephen Udvar-Hazy, CEO of International Lease Finance Corp, says replacement demand and modernization needs among airlines may prompt his firm to boost its orders for airliners by 20 to 30% over the next year to 18 months. But Bloomberg reports that in interviews with the German press, he also says his company might back out of its order for 10 Airbus A380s. Quote, "I see a general structural change in the industry and in the way that airlines think about the A380," unquote. He adds that his contract allows an order change without penalty during a window between January and June of next year. The news comes as AIG tries to sell off ILFC, either as a whole or in pieces. Of that effort, Udvar-Hazy predicted, quote, "We're highly confident there will be a favorable transaction for all constituents," unquote. Still ahead, Endeavour is a go for Saturday morning. Scientists confirm that the 1549 geese were migratory. And do you like your commercial airport enough to want to spend a day there? You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-400-7000. for Cessna.
We're back to wrap up your aero briefing for Wednesday, June 10th. I'm Paul Platt. AMD has unveiled a new special light sport aircraft. The short takeoff and landing CH-750LS is a factory-built SLSA version of the CH-750 designed by Chris Heinz. The rugged, all-metal, light sport utility plane is powered by Continental's new O200D lightweight engine, which boasts a dry weight of less than 200 pounds while still providing a true 100 horsepower. It sits on tricycle gear, claims a takeoff roll of just 100 feet, and cruises at 100 miles an hour. MSRP is about $100,000 U.S. Options include Garmin avionics, SRS airbag seatbelts, and a BRS system. The CH-750 is also available as a kit from Zenith Aircraft, and you can even buy just the plans for about $500. On Launchpad 39A at the Kennedy Space Center, the cargo bay on the shuttle Endeavour has been secured for Saturday's scheduled launch. The payload is, deep breath here, the Kibo Japanese Experiment Module Exposed Facility and Experiment Logistics Module Exposed Section. I know. Mission STS-127 is the last of three missions dedicated to the assembly of the Japanese Kibo Laboratory Complex. The launch is scheduled for Saturday morning, so if you're considering flying in the area, you'll want to find the applicable airspace restrictions in a story dated June 9th at aero-news.net. Scientists at the Smithsonian Institution have examined the feather remains from the January 15th U.S. Airways Flight 1549 bird strike to determine not only the species, but also that the Canada geese involved were from a migratory rather than resident population. That finding is described as essential for wildlife professionals to develop policies and techniques that will reduce the risk of future collisions. The team's findings are published in the current edition of the journal Frontiers in Ecology and the Environment. Peter Mara, research scientist at the Smithsonian's Migratory Bird Center, explained, quote, resident birds near airports may be managed by population reduction, habitat modification, harassment, or removal, but migratory populations require more elaborate techniques in order to monitor bird movements, unquote. And finally today, if you like the excitement of airline travel, but the recession is forcing you to make cuts in your vacation budget, maybe you could spend a day at your destination airport instead of a resort. As bizarre as that may sound, USA Today reports that some of the volunteer reporters it calls road warriors say some airports are actually fun to spend time in. George Geary of Corona, California says he sometimes plans a long layover at Denver International to get a massage. Linda Curran, a food and beverage industry consultant, says she enjoys the independent bookstore at Milwaukee. Jean Scott tells the paper she finds airports, quote, noisy, bustling, frantic, and sometimes dirty, unquote, but has recently become a fan of the Yadkin Valley Wine Bar at Charlotte Douglas International. You can find quite a list of these hidden airport treasures in the article by Gary Stoller in the travel section at usatoday.com. You know, somehow I don't imagine Disney is too worried by the new competition just yet. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ASTM compliance consultant Ed Downs talks about the history and nature of the ASTM process for creating standards governing light sport aircraft in the U.S. and its possible wider application in the future. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.